This week on Barbell Shrug, the Open is coming! We're going to give you our thoughts and tips on how to prepare for the CrossFit Games Open.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter, we'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday, head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
The show? Welcome. Welcome, everybody. I'm Mike McGoldrick with Mike McElroy. Michael McElroy, Coach Alex Macklin, and Kurt Mulliken, also Coach.
Kurt Mulliken.
Once again, back to drop some great information into your brains.
Should we do that again?
We definitely should.
I think we should
Hang on,
time
out. I don't have much room with this.
That's all I was trying to
fix
tell you.
A minute ago. Oh, I thought you were talking about this.
You're like, it's okay. I like to bend over when I talk.
Is that safe to touch? I wouldn't even touch
I
that.
Know, I don't. That's why I'm just like.
Do you have enough room now?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Coach Mike McElroy?
Yeah, I didn't.
What about you? What about you, Coach Alex Macklin? And you, Coach
whatever.
Kurt Mulliken?
Hey.
Plenty of space.
All right.
Word.
Well, should we do it? Maybe we should do another Nuggets and Pearls before this and just get warmed up.
Dude, I think we're good.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we're ready.
Yeah.
All right.
Opening up the first question on today's topic of open prep or how to prepare for the open or get ready for the open. The open is coming, everyone. The open is coming. The open is coming.
Right around the corner.
What are the numbers of the bottom 10% of regional athletes? That's a good question, and I wish I just had the data charted up.
But I don't really have that.
it's somewhat broad, but we could probably make like an avatar of who this guy is.
And my thing is, does it really change from year to year? I mean, I know the highest level people, you know, the top 10, those guys and those women, those go up. Like I saw an infographic, I can't remember who put it out, but from comparing from last year and then like 2 or 3 years ago, and everybody's put like 40 pounds on their lifts, you know, across the board. But for the bottom part, I don't know if that has changed very much.
Yeah, I don't think it definitely hadn't changed as much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's going up. The thing is, we've got to look at all the numbers across the board. Those avatars that usually post are just strictly the weightlifting numbers. Mm-hmm. They don't even take into consideration conditioning numbers.
Right.
Obviously, the workouts change every open, but we can take them baseline conditioning numbers like rowing times or things like that. If we're going to look at numbers to compare who we need to be as an athlete at that point, then we've got to look at all numbers across the board.
I think you got to look at all numbers, but, I mean, CrossFit, you know, like – the strength numbers, like how much you snatch, how much you clean and jerk, how much, you know, you squat, you know, that's that kind of stuff. Like
there's a definite range for that.
Yeah. There's a definite like, you know, if you're not snatching probably 240 or 245, you know, and back squatting 400, pulling over four, you know, you probably don't have a good that.
You're not
that good
a
shot.
Level, yeah.
You know,
what was the article that they had online? The games website had, were the numbers of regional athletes or was it the top 10 regional athletes in each region? What were the average? Did you guys see that article? I can't remember exactly what the field was, but they had numbers drawn out for male and female.
Yeah.
And they compared it to what it was 3 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, everything is higher now. People are much stronger. I mean, you've had, you know, the time to develop strength and people have been focusing a lot on just getting strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friend times are only going to get so low.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think those are the times that everybody sees. Those are the times everybody puts on Instagram. Those are the times everybody likes to talk about. But if you know some of the higher level athletes and know some of the things they can do, conditioning wise and stamina wise, those numbers are to me so much more impressive. Like just something off the top of my head, Travis Mayer doing like 500 and something unbroken double unders. Like the fact that somebody can just
that
keep
is pretty
doing
incredible
that for
not
long.
Not rupture his Achilles.
Is insane.
Or have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I would.
I mean, like some of those things are, it's just not what you post on Instagram. You don't post your 2K road time on Instagram.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and a big thing too about CrossFit, I mean, I went to the CrossFit games last year and you know, people were commenting on, man, they should have put the clean and jerk ladder like at the beginning of the week. But, I mean, and they put it in the middle after it all. They did that, you know, Murph and all that stuff. But that's really like – the real, like, testament that they can still, you know, some of those guys, yeah, they clean 50 pounds less than what they normally clean their best.
Right.
But who
still
cares?
Really heavy.
Yeah, it's still really heavy. Like, who cares? Like, okay, they only clean 300 and they normally clean 350, but, like, they did it after doing all that.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes those numbers of where people that made regionals, that doesn't, I feel like, doesn't mean that much.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're seeing that in the open now, too. So last year they made you test it when you're in a fatigue state. Yeah. So you did a really hard workout and then you had to go do a one rep max. So,
right.
The idea in relative to what CrossFit Games calls, you know, your one rep max is a little different than what a weightlifting would call it.
And still being strong, though. Like, you still have that foundation, that base. So, like, you got to be – if your best clean is 300, you know, in a fatigue state, if it's only 240, then, where are you? There you go. There you are. So
So, I think just wrapping up this, you know, talking about the stats is just making sure we're looking at all the numbers across the board and giving yourself realistic goals of where you should be or where you should be sitting based off that.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
what's your best right now?
Like, best what?
Like lifts. Like
everything.
What do you like?
Olympic
lifts?
Because
you've been to the games and you've been to regionals and, you know, you're
GPR
competitive
this
athlete.
Morning?
So like.
Well, so I like to look at my lifts as like financing them. So my best I've actually ever done is 290 snatch. But the other day I tried 300 like 12 times, and it's kind of like borrowing money. Like I know I'm gonna do it at some point, so I'm just gonna go ahead and count it. You know, like I'm gonna pay that money back one day. Like, so I'm just gonna go ahead and like say that I have 300 pound snatch.
Yeah.
Can you do that? I don't know.
I mean, you maybe.
It's close enough.
Can you finance a lift?
Maybe at CrossFit you can do
the
that.
Owner verify.
What's that?
Is the owner of the gym verify?
right. Yeah. So with that said, let's lead into our topic for today, which is the Open. Right. So we've got starting off. Let's chat a little bit about like who the Open is for. Like, why do you want to do the Open? Should you do the Open? Can you do the Open? What are your thoughts? Like, who would be interested in doing this? Is it for beginner athletes? Is it for anyone?
Not fat weightlifters like myself. Definitely not. Who'd never do cardio ever.
Well, I think we all have a different answer probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a positive experience for anyone that, you know, even if you're a beginner, intermediate, or advanced level CrossFitter, I think it's or fitness enthusiasts in general, I think it's a great experience because it's, you know, it's a program or a competition that you do online that, you know, challenges you to do things you didn't know you were capable of. If you're not someone who has ever followed a program or trained for a goal, this is a really fun opportunity to do it because you got a lot of other people doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think anytime you put yourself in a competitive state, like where you have to compete, that brings like whole new meanings to, you know, what you've been preparing, like your training, like what you've been doing the whole year. It gives you a lot of clarity on like where you are as an athlete, like, and it just gives you that competitor high. Like, I mean, like even with weightlifting, like if you compete, it brings meaning to your training, and there's a difference between training and competing. And if you train in something, you should compete in something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's just what you should do.
Yeah, I think it's is most of the time a very positive experience for anybody that does it, especially if they go into it with the right mindset, which I think we'll get to a little bit later. But as far as gym owners and people in the gym, it's a very positive experience for everybody involved. It gets the community together on a regular basis. It gets to see people push past limits that they're normally set against themselves. And, you know, when they're, for some reason, if we call for something in the gym, maybe a 24-inch box or something, they are scared to do it. But as soon as headquarters calls for it, then all of a sudden they get it for the first time ever.
Yeah.
So it makes them experience things that they've never done before.
And they can get PR. Dude, I see a lot of people PR'd like
during the Open.
during the Open. Yeah. Like, that was crazy. Like, a lot of people, I was like, damn, like you guys PR'd? Like, what the hell this come from?
My wife's been cross-training for 6 years. And last year during the first workout, she PR'd her clean and jerk. Doing that workout. Is like,
that's an incredible sight.
Especially for someone who's very, like, an advanced athlete and more developed.
Right.
I was like, I would never have expected that. But pressure does that, you know?
Yeah. Pressure.
Adrenaline.
And pressure.
The Open creates pressure that makes you do things you didn't know you could do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Competition, I perform way better in competition than I do in training, and, you know, so.
And it helps you learn that about yourself just in general.
Yeah.
you know, if you you take that out to life experiences, when you have pressure put on you at your job or whatever, are you somebody that performs under pressure? Or do you need to learn how to deal with that?
Yeah, you cry like a bitch.
And if you do, you need to figure out how to deal with it. And yeah, figure out how to grow from it.
Yeah, I definitely think like too. You know, we got a shout out to the home gym dudes. You know, like and women. Like if you got a home gym, you definitely probably should do the open because, I mean, that's your chance now to like get around a bunch of other people doing stuff
that
you've been doing.
Yeah, you've talked about that a lot with your gym.
You get to visit an affiliate and train with a bunch of people you might not know, make new friends.
Meet some chicks, meet some women.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do a lot of at your gym for as far as your community at your gym during the open, don't you?
Yeah. We kick off the open with a huge party. Yeah. Everybody's gathered around the you know, the Waterfy monitors. we've got the workout going on. Yeah. And we have a huge table full of food. There's probably 100 people in there. And then after the main two people, whoever, you know, HQ decides on goes head to head, we have like 5 or 10 people like do the workout on the spot. Everybody's standing around eating cake and drinking beer and cheering for these people. And it's incredible to see like some PR, the clean and
jerk.
That's
awesome for community development.
Should beginner CrossFitters do the open? I've always kind of wondered this, and we get to ask that question a lot.
Yeah, we had that question come in. Do you have the exact question?
It said, would you encourage a beginner to do the open? And I actually want to bring that up because what do you say to someone who is a beginner and there's a lot of opinions out there about is it actually even safe to do? Should you be testing your clean and jerk after a workout when you're in a fatigue state if you're not very proficient in that lift yet? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the person also said, you know, they were worried about seeing their name so low on the leaderboard starting out, and would that be bad for them mentally? And I think if they ask that question, obviously you can talk to them and discuss, you know, why they shouldn't be comparing to the rest of the world. It's their first time. They're so early, so it should be okay. Like, take a positive mindset into that. And then knowing that when you get into those fatigue states and a lift comes up, maybe it's a heavy deadlift on that, like, deadlift ladder that they had a few years ago, like, the owner and the athlete going into it should know, like, we're going to call it at a certain point. Like, we're not going to push you past safety. We may push you past what you're normally comfortable with, but we're not going to push you past safety. Mm-hmm. And if they can wrap their head around that mentally, then I think, it's a good experience.
On the flip side of that, I think if you have a relatively inexperienced athlete, this could be like last year's, you know, first workout I had that clean and jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be a time they could very easily PR, you know, because they're getting noob gains. Yeah, they got their noob gains. They're making progress, and that could be like a huge boost their self-esteem.
And then you were the smartest coach in the world.
Automatically.
Yeah. I mean, easily.
And then, I mean, they
warmed you up with toes to bars and deadlifts.
Right. And you know, I think that's why last year they added that scale division. I mean, now there is a level for where that, you know, if you're a raw beginner, you can still do the open, you know,
I think the bigger picture, it's just important to understand that, like, you're picking something and sticking to it. Like it's 5 weeks long. It's not easy, no matter what level you're doing it at. Like, it's challenging committing to something that kind of rules your schedule for 5 weeks. Like, that's really hard. And I think if you commit to that and handle it, like, that's something to be very proud of, regardless of where you finish on the leaderboard.
For sure. And I think you should also kind of look at it, too, like, It's not the end all be all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just 5 weeks. It's workout. They're workouts, just like everything else that you do in your own training. Like, you know, it's not something that defines who you are. So, like, that person who's like, man, I don't want to see my name so low. I'm like, I mean, you tried. That's just give your best shot, and that's what you do. You know.
Yeah. Why are you adjust that on the front end?
Well, why are you upset that it was so low? Did you maybe not understand where your fitness level is, and now it's kind of a reality check? So maybe you needed to see that and kind of understand that, and it could be a little eye opening and painful. But that's the truth.
I mean, people don't like people don't like measuring because it does. It makes you be honest. Like, it shows the truth, the cold, hard truth. And, like, maybe you thought you were, you know, this badass because maybe you were the best in your gym or whatever. But, you know, now when you're comparing to everybody else, like, this is where you are. And, you know, you can see that as a negative or you can see that as a positive.
The tough thing about the open is that I say this to people all the time is that there's only one person who's really the winner every year. and that's like walking into that. It's a hard thing to swallow because it's like, I mean, no matter what I do, like, there's only one guy who's going to win it every year. And it's just how it's displayed, where you can see everything stacked up that makes it harder than any other competition.
Well, it's interesting because it's the one sport where, like you said, the the amateurs and the beginners even are comparing the same, to the pros. Where like we can't say, I'm pretty good at football, but I'm not even in the NFL, so I'm not anywhere close to them. Like you can get that. Like you said, is a big thing. Like if you're the best in the gym, like even that used to be even 5 years ago, if you were the best in the gym, you probably had a good shot at regionals. Now it doesn't matter. No. It doesn't matter one bit. You may not be at a great gym.
Have you seen the movie Trainwreck?
No. I have not.
Movie
I have not.
Yeah, I think we talked about
it. Yeah, we talked about it, but I've only seen
there's
that
a scene,
one.
There's a scene where I don't remember the comedian's name, but he's playing basketball with LeBron James. And every time he tries to take a shot, LeBron James just packs him. But they're like casually, they're like buddies hanging out playing. It's kind of funny to me because it hit me. It's like CrossFit's different in that you're not going to go play basketball recreationally with LeBron James and like, you know, think that you're going to be pretty good at it.
Right.
But that scene was funny because that's actually how it is. Like in the CrossFit,
In the CrossFit Open, you're playing with you're playing with the people who won the games,
and it shows you, but it also
and they're gonna pack you.
it gives you the respect that's deserved for those people that are at the top. Like it shows you how good those guys really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
man, I'm not even in the same field as them.
Yeah. So I say if you're gonna do it, I say do it with no regrets and commit to
no
it
regrets.
Fully. No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. Oh my bad.
Yeah. No. I'm just from a movie.
Oh so, yeah. Gotcha. McElroy hasn't seen that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Real quick before we move on to the next piece, how do you handle? What if you're a leaderboard Larry? What do you do?
What is a leaderboard Larry?
Leaderboard Larry is that one guy that we all know. I'm guilty of it. That is refresh.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the name go down, and it's eating you alive. How do you handle that? What do you do?
I think you mentioned it before, scheduling when you're going to look at the workouts or just saying you're not going to look at them at all. And I think the only reason you should be looking at them constantly is if you're in that competition zone of possibly
super competitive.
And that's the place to put it. Otherwise, you just got to take yourself away from that. Look at it in the end.
I mean, if you're already – exactly. If you're close to making that cutoff, then maybe, refresh the thing on, you know, what is it, Sunday night?
Monday night.
I
don't remember.
Monday night.
Monday night. So, refresh it a couple times. But, man, just go and do it for fun. If you know you're not, you know, going to make regionals, and a lot of people, I mean, they know that. Just do it for fun.
Yep.
You know?
Do the best you can.
No one gets enjoyment out of clicking refresh and seeing their name drop 14 spots every time they do it. That's not a fun thing.
It's not going to go up. It's only going to drop.
Yeah. Generally, it only goes down.
And I totally get it, too. You want to be competitive.
Done it over and over again.
Can you see this guy, though? Like
don't fall into the trap every week.
Can you see this guy, though, like at a desk? There's a small desk lamp. It's kind of dark in there. Like his wife's already gone to bed, and he's like, I'm really getting packed right now. So packed.
It's funny that we talk about this because, I did the American Open and I lifted. I didn't even check to see what I end up placing because, I mean, there were 150, 85 kilo dudes and, I was one of them and, I know I wasn't near the top, and I was like, you know what? I don't care, man. It was about the experience. I had fun, man. That's just what it's about. Go and have fun and do the thing and learn from it and move on to the next thing.
That's a really good point. That helps us lead into how do we actually prepare for the Open. So not just physically, not just figuring out where you are, what you can handle physically, but mentally. You know, maybe when you go into the Open, if you know that doing something, checking the leaderboard daily is going to bring a negative impact on it, on the experience, then maybe you should have a rule set before you go, I'm not going to check it till the end, or I'm only going to check it once a week, or, you know, have some kind of standard set where if you know it's going to hurt you and make the experience sour, don't do it.
Yeah,
right?
Make rules for yourself, you know. Set standards for yourself. If you got standards in the workout,
tell yourself you're only going to do the workout one time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you're going to repeat it, you say, I'm doing this.
Is it worth it?
Or I'm just going to do it one time and repeat it one time, and I'm not going to sit there and I think I can do better this time.
And tell somebody that, because otherwise you're going to redo it.
Probably.
Get somebody to hold you.
How do you feel about repeating workouts? We just all agree that it depends on what your goals are in the Open. I mean, I'm a big fan of it. If you feel like you could do better, I say why not give it a shot. Now, if you're hurting yourself and redoing it three times and you did the chest bar workout three or four times, come on, be smart. But if you did it and be like, man, that wasn't my best, I want to walk away really happy with that. I have no problem having clients do it again. Now, if they're someone who's trying to go to regionals, then guess what? The next 5 weeks, you're an Open athlete.
Yeah.
You are dedicated to redoing workouts and taking care of yourself to get the best absolute score you can do.
Well, I definitely think that there are some workouts you can repeat. They're repeat safe, mm-hmm. and there are some that are not repeat safe. What was it, a couple years ago? It was like the deadlift wad.
Deadlift box jump completely
just wrecked everybody, and like people couldn't walk, like wheelchair like bound for like a week. Yeah. Like that's one you probably don't want to redo. Yeah. You know?
Power snatch double under one. I did it like 10 times.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't blow your Achilles out, but hey.
Yeah, some people were ready for the jumping, some weren't. That's a good point coming into how do we actually prepare for it physically. So you had something to say?
Yeah, I was just going to agree with those points. I mean, if you're a regionals athlete or possible regionals athlete, you have to start repeating them. If you're not a regionals athlete, we need to take a objective look at the workout and if it's worth redoing from a risk of injury standpoint and if you're really going to improve on it, or if you like you said, if you come out of that first attempt and you know like, yeah, that wasn't it, like, yeah. then you can go ahead and redo it. But if you're like, I gave it all I got, but I think I can squeeze one or two more reps, like, is it really worth it?
And this is, I think, a prime example of when having, like, a coach would help, because mm-hmm. then that person could sit there objectively and mm-hmm. decide, like, look, you're not doing it again. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it again.
Yeah. Especially if it's week one. So if week one is, like, a tough workout and you know, like, I know I can do better, and your coach is like, yeah, but at what cost is it to redo it? You know, you may do a little better, but what's it going to take? You got to turn around and do another one 3 days later that comes right back out. So, I mean, the open's long. It's 5 weeks long. So you got to take that into consideration.
It'd be a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of athletes that redo workouts. And I mean, like 90% almost always do better the second time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, well, because, they know how to do
it. Well, you learn, right? It's experience-based. Like these CrossFit workouts are experience-based. Like every time you do it, you're like, you're nervous the first time. Yeah. You're scared. You probably don't follow the plan that you had. Like you learn so much. The next time you do it, you're like, man, I just crushed that score from 3 days ago, and I'm not even near as tired.
It's just
how it works. So, but again, it's a long race. So mm-hmm. keep that in mind. All right. Well, physically then, leading up to the open, I mean, how many months out should you prepare for the open?
5 years?
Oh God!
Start yesterday.
Intentional broad question.
Yeah, you started yesterday. Yeah.
What you probably don't want to do is start January 1st.
January 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the point of that question.
But still
was,
start.
Yeah.
Don't not start.
The point of that question was you need to slowly accumulate volume, mm-hmm. building up to get ready for the volume for the open.
Conditioning volume, strength volume.
Yes.
Like. What?
All of it.
All of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Being able to handle upper body density volume for one of the main things with shoulder injuries and things like that.
What's that? Muscular endurance.
Yeah. Being able to handle 100, 150 chest to bar pull-ups
one week
and then 100, 150 toes to bar the next week. Being able to handle that volume, you can't just start that, like you said, January 1st mm-hmm. and expect to, one, see that much progress. But so it needs to be an accumulation all the way through the year.
Okay, so when you say upper body density, give me an example
of a training session for that.
Yeah, or how do I know where to start? Like, how do I know how much I can do, and then how much do I add each week?
Yeah, so I mean, a simple example, you've seen, you know, everybody's seen different kind of EMOMs or every minute on the minute type pieces just for conditioning. You can break it down to a specific movement and say, let's start with 3 chest to bar pull-ups every minute for 10 minutes and mm-hmm. maybe that's starting back in September, and you accumulate up to where you're doing 10 chest bar pull-ups every minute for 10 minutes. And so that accumulates 100 chest bar pull-ups, and it's a very measurable piece to where you can week by week progress. And if it's easy to do 3 on the minute, then you progress up to 4. If it's not easier, if you don't, you get to 7 the 7th minute and you can't make it, then you stay the same number the next week until you can and slowly progress that way. And that's just a very basic template of progressing your volume throughout the year.
Yeah. So you talk about, you know, it seems like a lot about skill and gymnastics work, but what about the raw strength, like building that and building your tank up, you know, like when would you start and how would you progress with that?
Yeah. I mean, the season though, if you took a look at a year season of training, then your strength training is going to be highest in priority farther away from the open. And it's going to lead and intensity towards the open, similar to how you would for a weightlifting meet.
Right.
The volume of strength training goes down, but the intensity goes up.
Intensity goes up. Yep.
And then you have, of course, we bring in the battery work and being able to do high percentage work for a lot of reps, but that's kind of another topic. But the intensity peaks during the open so that you can still have that one rep max in the tank after the 9-minute AMRAP or whatever they throw at you. So volume is highest in the off season with just overall cumulative volume, and then intensity on both, intensity of gymnastics work and intensity of strength training peaks towards the open when you're getting ready to do those testers.
Cool, cool. Very nice. So we talked a little about movements or how to get better at them over time, like high volume chest to bars, things that you kind of usually know are going to show up in the open. I don't ever want to say things we absolutely know about the open.
It's a shot in the dark. You have no idea what's going to show up.
But it's not that unknown. It's not as unknown as doing a weekend competition where you go and you have running and maybe ropes and they might make you swim and all that. This is kind of inclusive in that you know it's going to be in a gym.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
We see a pattern in the movements for the most part.
Yep.
I'm not saying new ones aren't going to come up, but what are the things that we do know that we can start preparing for maybe a few months out?
Yeah. I mean, the two examples we've already listed, high volume chest to bar, knowing that it's not just going to be like a few chest to bar. Like
yeah.
We know it's going to be high volume. Toes to bar, same thing. You know you're going to have to repeat that for a long time. And some people are good at toes to bar for sets of five.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they do them in a fatigue state, we've got to do 50 of them in a row without moving to some other movement, then they start breaking down tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
High volume wall balls. Muscle-ups.
Yeah. Yep.
Muscle-ups are going to be there. Muscle-ups and double-unders.
Yeah.
They're going to be there.
Everyone's going to act surprised when they see these muscle-ups,
and these movements, too, you know, they're general just fitness athletic
movements.
Yeah, common movements. And, like, you know, if you get good at them, like, you're killing a lot of birds, you know. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of brings up a point that a lot of people see these movements that the high-level athletes are doing, like back uprises and different things like that, and they go and start trying to achieve these things. And it's like your goal is still the open. Like
those aren't
going to be in the open. Like we know that pretty much. So focus on the common basic movements and get really good
at those.
Or
even if it is, you still need to be really good at the stuff that's going to be more of it there.
Yeah.
So if that's 3% of the work, like you still got a lot of other things that you need to perfect first.
Get
like,
really good at
that. Yeah, what's your biggest return, like, on investment?
Biggest
return
for your buck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, all right, well, what about things other than just, like, movement specifically? Like, there are other knowns about the Open that we can discuss, like standards, like the schedule of it. Like, you know that going into it, even if you didn't train right, a lot of things that you could do to set yourself up for success coming into the Open would be having a good schedule set. Like having a day that you're going to pick it. For example, finding out a good gym to go to with good energy, like that kind of stuff matters. You got to consider that. So that kind of preparing could really, you know, elevate your success or it could really crush it if you don't have those things set up.
Yeah.
Any
thoughts? I think planning ahead of time too, not only planning it in your head and maybe planning it with a gym owner, but planning it in the sense of, like, starting in December, my athletes start doing open-style workouts on Friday to get their body used to, all right, the workouts announced on Thursday, so we're going to hit it on Friday. So backing up, it's going to be a new thing where we hit the workout on Friday. They're going to be used to getting ready and getting mentally prepped for that. And if you're doing it at a different gym, start going to that gym on Friday afternoon to do that. I mean, it's a routine that your body's going to get used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Like, I mean – I think that's why a lot of gyms, you know, start doing, you know, Friday night lights. Like they do Friday night little mini competitions so that, you know, they get their, you know, everybody, the members of the gym, you know, used to doing a tester on Friday. And same thing with that, you know, with weightlifting, max out Friday. Like you're going to max out on Friday and you know, that's the day you're going to lift. Or max out Saturday because maybe sometimes you lift on Saturday for a competition.
Your body definitely gets used to it.
Prepare. You should train how you're going to compete. Yeah.
Cool. Good info on what to do leading up to it. Now, what about during it? So let's say you're week two in the open, or you're about to start week two, week one just finished. You knocked out the chest to bars. Do you do any, like, what kind of maintenance work do you do? Do you never do chest to bars? Not never. Do you not do chest to bars for the next 4 weeks? Like, what's up there?
Yeah, so one easy thing that I like to do is, let's say we do the open workout on Friday. My highest volume training day is going to be on Saturday. So we're probably going to be a little sore just from the intensity of the open workout, but my highest volume training day is going to be on Saturday. And then on Monday, it's pretty high too, and then it starts tapering back down Tuesday and Wednesday, getting ready for Thursday.
Is this assuming you're not repeating?
This is assuming you're not repeating.
Gotcha.
If you are repeating, then things change a little bit.
Yep.
I don't know if we want to get into that.
It's hell for a coach.
Yeah. I mean, you wrote a program, right? Being in the open.
Yeah, the program that's in the overtime that is starting weeks ahead of the open, leading you all the way through the last week of the open. That's exactly what it is. We have the tester is on Friday, and then you train pretty hard on Saturday with high volume, do some strength work and some pretty high volume. And when I say volume during the open time, volume is not in the sense of the length of time that you're doing. It's more in the amount of kind of classic CrossFit movements that we're talking about, toes to bar, gymnastic, chest to bar, wall balls, things like that. There's a bunch of those on Saturday and Monday, and then it starts kind of tapering down throughout the week leading up to that Friday again.
Very cool. So when do you usually have an athlete repeat the workout? Does it depend on the workout or how they felt? Or
yeah, for me it depends on the workout. Like Kurt said about the double under snatch one, like you do it on Friday, maybe do it again on Saturday afternoon, maybe again on Sunday, maybe again on Monday. Like if you're a borderline regionals athlete, like that's a go-getter. If it's not, if it's the deadlift workout and you're still – the only reason you're repeating this because you are borderline regionals, then you got to spread it out a little bit more, and you got to do some maintenance work in between that to make sure you're prepped. So, yeah, it definitely depends on the workout there.
Gotcha.
And it's just constant communication with that coach.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, of course, your recovery's got to be on point if you're going to be doing all this
no
shit.
Doubt.
I mean, damn. Like all these workouts, these AMRAPs and whatever.
Friday night is pizza and ice bath night.
Yeah. Pizza and ice bath.
Keep yourself sane.
Vice Friday. That's a huge thing. Like, especially such a competition. Like it's already so much adrenaline and pressure. Like, you got to keep yourself, like, you can only, mentally there, man.
Yeah, you can only tell yourself no so many times. Like,
yeah,
you got that cup of free will. When it starts getting empty, you start falling apart.
Yeah. This is like it's like a gauntlet.
I stay pretty drunk for the Open. It's a tough.
Is that what? I mean, hey, beer is recovery, right? I mean, it's got carbs.
You know
I mean?
Speaking of that, so how do you keep it fun? You know, what do you do with your athletes at the gym, Kurt, that are, you know, 2 weeks in and they got that shock reality that they're not as good as they thought, or they didn't do as well as they wanted on week one. What do you do to keep them encouraged and moving through it?
Hopefully I don't have too many people that are really disappointed with their overall performance versus the rest of the world. You know, that's another issue. But I like to do like a community leaderboard, which you can do on the open website, and have the people that are in the scaled, you know, division really kind of battling it out. And that's one of the times I think it's okay to have somebody repeat a workout, is when you got a couple of guys that maybe go back and forth and they're like super close all the time. You know, that's fun for the whole gym to watch. And when you have people who are capable of repeating workouts like that one that we talked about, and you have 50 or 60 people standing around cheering just you two on, that's exciting. And it pushes everybody
maybe
to
there's a prize
higher.
At the end of the Open for your local gym.
Yeah.
There you go. I think it's important to compete in a level you're proficient at. So, like, the most fun I think I've ever had competing, I'll use ping pong as an example. Like, when you play someone that's pretty good, like, the same level as you. I know you're laughing.
I'm terrible at it, by the way.
Yeah. When you play someone that sucks, it's not fun. When
right.
you play someone that crushes you, it's not fun. When you have someone that can
right
go
there.
Point for point with you the whole time, it's way more fun. Yeah. So I think it's so important for people to compete at a level that they're proficient at, right? So the custom leaderboarding, people around town, like your friends, like, is so important in the Open because you can do that, right? Like, don't go compare yourself to Rich Froning. Like, you might just get discouraged. Like,
you're going to get packed.
I mean, you are going to get discouraged.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not a might. You are going to get discouraged.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying that if you're trying to be a high-level athlete, it's a little different. But for most of you who are trying to get a really good experience out of the Open, I think that's really important. What about scaled or open? How do you know what to do going into it? What do you – some athletes that might be on the fence, like because of a movement, like what do you have them do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we address if you get into the open, you don't have to choose. You can choose open at first, and then if you get bumped to the scale, you get bumped to the scale. But if you want to start, and maybe you know you're not a open level person, so you want to compete for that top scaled spot, so you want to start there, but you're not sure if you should or not, then, I mean, certain things that, again, the open is somewhat unknown, but we do know there's muscle ups, there's double unders. There's some weights that you know you should pretty much be able to do. So looking at those kind of just basic movements and making sure you can do those. If you can't, you know you're going to have to bump to scaled regardless. If you can't do double unders, you're going to have to bump to scaled. Yeah. So go ahead and start in the scale division and see where you're at.
Got it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add on that?
I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot. There was a lot of points and a lot of nuggets. Maybe we should wrap it up a little bit, like, and summarize what we kind of went over.
Yeah, right on. So we opened with the numbers of the regional athletes, kind of gave you a broad overview of why it's important to focus on where you're at exactly and then figure out what's actually reachable and capable of you progressing in or improving in within, like, you know, a year or 2 years or so. Who's the open for? Talk about pretty much everybody, right? But just most importantly, commit to doing it. If you're going to do it, put, you know, both feet in, not 1 foot at a time. Be very confident in that decision. Would we encourage beginners to do it? Yes, but just have the good conversation with your coach or with yourself and say, I'm only going to push myself to a level that I feel is safe, and, you know, that's up to the coach too.
Yeah,
you know,
I think both of those are making sure we have the right mindset going in.
Absolutely, yep, yep. We talked a little about how to prepare, right? So how to build volume over time, how to accumulate volume, how to not dump it all on at once, how to try and, you know, avoid injuries that way, and things that we do know about the Open, standards. Well, we didn't really talk about that a lot, actually.
Yeah, we didn't.
But
we didn't.
Standards are going to come up in the Open every year, and you know that. And right. What I mean by standards are, like, making your reps good
count.
Reps.
Right.
And I don't mean, like, doing the rep great. I mean being comfortable with being held to a standard.
Right.
Right? So maybe
yeah, I've seen some people. You. Seen some people get
some people
flip out, man, about, like, what the hell? Like, I was down. I was below, yeah. I was hitting the standard. Like,
yeah, that's yeah. a cheater McSteve.
Yeah, cheater McSteve. Yeah.
He's just not comfortable being told, you know, no rep. So yeah. Get yourself comfortable with that. Hold yourself to a standard. When you're training on your own now, be honest. You
and
know,
don't be afraid to no rep somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, everybody's doing the same thing. That's how you hold the competition to that level and make it fair. Is that you don't so yep. you know, if some cheater McSteve getting all in your face, be like, no rep. Bitch.
Just get comfortable
not scared
being
you,
told
Steve.
No rep and, yeah. and being told
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
We talked about maintenance during the Open, how to take care of yourself. Are you going to repeat or not?
Yeah.
You know, maybe some scenarios there.
Yeah, well, then, I mean, McElroy wrote that program. It's in overtime that, you know, if you're in there, you can do. You. So, yeah.
Yep, solid program. Sport versus recreation, just how to keep it fun, you know, like go into that again. Choose a custom leaderboard with your friends. Compete with people that, you know, at the same level with you. I'm not saying don't try and rip their faces off, but still do that. You know, you want to beat them. It's competition.
Yeah.
I
have
get that.
Have fun beating them.
Yeah, have fun. Don't be a douche.
Just like, overall, keep it a positive experience because that's what it should be doing.
That's what it should be.
It's 5 weeks out of your year. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
So don't be miserable that entire time.
Yeah.
I've been there. It sucks.
Use it as a platform to, you know, set goals and see where you are for the rest of the year and what you want to do and come around next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, use it to guide your training going forward.
Cool. Anything else you want to add?
Have fun.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Boom.